Welcome to the Naples Community Church Podcast with Pastor Kurt Anderson. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you find this sermon inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God moving in your life. We trust God has great things in store for you. Enjoy today's message.
Dear Father, even though we sing that every single week, be glorified in your church. Be glorified in our lives. Lord God, even now as we open our hearts to you, may we understand just how many ways you reach out to us that we might walk in faith. Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to preach about Jesus walking on the water and then catching up with the disciples in the boat and Peter walking on water. And then, of course, sinking. You know the story already. But Jesus is praying on the hillside after he's fed 5,000 people plus women and children. And the disciples are making their way across the Lake of Galilee. And a huge storm comes up and the winds blow and he can see them from the hillside straining at the oars. But St. Augustine has taken that image of God's disciples in the boat as a symbol of the church. And if you think about it, many of the old European cathedrals and many churches here in the United States, if you look up at the ceiling, it has these girders or big beams that are holding up the roof, and the roof is typically shaped like this. That's to be symbolic of a boat, inverted. That the sanctuary of the church is actually the ship with which we together navigate life. And so that image of the cathedral, that image of the boat, is Augustine's treatment of this text and how that spun out through church architecture for a couple thousand years. And so this is not an insignificant story in the sense that it has a deep and profound sense of the meaning of God's people working together, striving together in the storms of life. Hear the word of God as it comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. Immediately after the feeding of the 5,000 and just Jesus praying on the hillside, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. It is I. I am here." And Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes," Jesus said, "come." So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. After they had crossed over the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area. And soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. May God add his understanding to this hearing of his word. So imagine the scene. In the Greek, it's the fourth watch of the night, and that's a range of time between 3 and 6 in the morning. But I said 6 in the morning because in my sense, if they were to see him, there had to be some light. And how creepy to see the silhouette with the lightning sky of a man walking on the water. It does. It looks like a ghost. What are we seeing? This is beyond any kind of expectation or comprehension. And so they were terrified, as if fighting in the waves wasn't bad enough, although a third of them were fishermen. They had been out there many times. But if that weren't bad enough, then to see this man walking toward them, what to think? They continue to strain, and then Jesus draws closer, and they come to a sense of some recognition because he's drawing closer to them during the storm. See, the storm is a reality. This whole story, I believe, is a real story. I don't think it's made up at all. Scholars go back and forth, oh, there's Jesus walking on a sandbar because you know people can't walk on. Well, Jesus did. And it's a real story that speaks of God's sovereignty over all of nature. As Jesus approaches, and when he is in earshot of the disciples, he uses that phrase to refer to himself, I am. Ego eimi in the Greek. It is the word that is taken from God speaking to Moses at the burning bush. And when we ask, well, why would Jesus walk on the water? You remember the story of creation? The Spirit of God hovers over the face of the deep, over the waters. And the creative work of God, the water was symbolic of nothingness, of utter chaos. And the Spirit of God hovers over the face of the deep, and all of creation comes about by his word. So here we have Jesus walking on the water, hovering over the face of the deep, and making this declaration, I am. Just as God said to Moses at the burning bush, tell them that I am has sent you. So this is Jesus making a direct statement about his identity as God to the disciples. Well, to them at that time, it didn't matter. They were straining at the oars. And yet Peter wants to go out. And he says, if it's you, if that's really you, Jesus, call me out so that I can walk on the water. And I don't know if this is just kind of a weird guy thing that Peter's doing, or if it's some real profound challenge that Jesus has put on Peter's heart. But he does. He gets out, and he starts walking on the water. And when he sees the wind and the waves, when he sees reality or what he thinks is a reality around him, he begins to sink. And he cries out to Jesus, and Jesus extends his hand and pulls him out. But Jesus pulls him out with a rebuke. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? So life, sometimes it's a nice, tranquil day on the water. Sometimes the boat is doing just fine. Sometimes nothing is rocky at all. And then you're a young woman and you find out you're pregnant. An inconvenient pregnancy. Then you get a phone call from the doctor's office. They want you to come back. They want to take more tests. They're worried. Then you find out your nephew has been arrested. He's been on drugs. And life happens. Life strikes. And the reality is, not a one of us is immune to this. There's not a one of us that hasn't had something that has afflicted us. Where, yes, the storms strike, and there we are straining in the midst of the storm. But when that word comes to us, we know our faith is to be operative at that point, and we think that if we just step out in faith, it's going to be okay, and we start walking on the water toward Jesus. And then we start sinking. Because our faith gives way. Because why hasn't God fixed this? Why hasn't God done something? Does he even hear? Is he even there? Is this real? So Jesus walks on the water as a way of demonstrating that he knows how tough it is. He's been there before us. And we are not alone as we encounter those realities. You know, there are all kinds of books written about how life has its stages. We go through this stage and that stage, and we have this happen and that happen, and it all seems so predictable in some sense. And we feel like if we're 33 years old and not married yet, we should get married because, you know, it's that stage of life. Or if we're 56 and the kids haven't left the house yet, we feel like they should get out of the house because they're at that stage. But life isn't that way. Life is absolutely unpredictable. And to use the term of Bruce Feeler's, we have times that there are life quakes. Things happen and everything gets disrupted. And not only is the storm battering us, but when we try to walk out and step out in faith, our faith fails. God doesn't fail, but our faith fails. C.S. Lewis, in the walking on the water, we see the relations of spirit and nature. So altered that nature can be made to do what spirit pleases. The power of God over all that we are involved with, all that we encounter. If God can hover over the face of the deep, if God can walk on water, that's the statement that Jesus makes in walking on the water. He can be there for you and for me. This is so hard. We lost our dear brother Brian. We lost him 2 minutes before we started our service last week. And this is a man who was doing his best to walk on the water. And yet, his sinking was not his dying. The reality is, as he walked in courage and in faith, the hand of God then reached out to him. And last Sunday morning, our Savior lifted him up and took him to himself. Just a year ago, our dear sister Eleanor Edgerton, who had just lost her husband a few months earlier, found out that she had pancreatic cancer. Out of the blue, the storm struck. And she tried walking on water, but she sank. And as I was with her, at one point, she was facing more treatments. And the treatments were such that they gave her tremendous pain and anguish. And as I was with her, she said to me, "What should I do?" As if I know. All I could say, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Just focus on him. It is his hand that will uphold you. It is his hand that will carry you. And in faith, then, she declined further treatment. She understood that more treatment meant 3 more months of watching TV in pain. She declined further treatment. And the Lord lifted her up into his presence. Let me say that as a pastor, I don't mind saying I have no answers. I have a lot of questions. And I enter into this life and go through this life the same way you do. And I'm asking why all the time, just as you are. But at least we're in this boat together. We're traveling together. We are with one another as we go through these things. And where I hurt for people is when they have no one around them, when they have no one, when they're completely abandoned, when they have no one who are people of faith to be with them through their anguish and pain. And sometimes because God's people pray, we have these wonderful stories such as Grace's friend, where she's had a heart transplant and she's doing so well. But we all know that even Lazarus died again. We go through whatever changes we might go through. We make our way through whatever crises we may make our way through. But ultimately, we were not made for this life. We were made for eternity. And our Savior, who walks on the water, welcomes us home. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Father, in those hard times, we're told to dig deep and find the resources within ourselves. But Lord, we've already done that, and we're empty. So rather than digging deep, we reach up to your hand, to the hand of your Son, who bears us up on the waves. We give you thanks and praise in his name. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a few things you can do. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at www.naplescommunitychurch.org. If you happen to be visiting Naples, please drop in for our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to meet you. Thanks again for joining us. Have a fabulous day.